that we can come to your house today and worship you and spend time in your word. And we do want to pray for these with special needs today. A lot of sickness still going on. And think of Todd as he's sick. Others, I'm sure, who are sick today cannot be here. And Lord, just touch folks, we pray, and raise them up. I do pray for Patsy now with a 93-year-old lady with pneumonia. Pray that you would give the doctors wisdom to know which antibiotic would help her and touch her. We pray for Mike as he has hip surgery tomorrow. Pray that that would go smoothly. I do pray for Dave, Lord. He needs to be saved. And Lord, he's heard the gospel from several people. And Lord, he is part of your chosen people. But Lord, he's lost. He needs Christ. And Lord, he's going about to establish his own righteousness when he could have your righteousness if he would just trust you. And somehow I pray, Lord, that you would show that to Dave and that he would receive Christ before it's too late. Do pray for this family member that Karen mentioned who has some suicidal thoughts. We pray that you would help them to seek for help in you and in your word and work in that life. Do pray for Terry Trivett as he has had a heart attack. We pray that you would work in his life and raise him back to health. Pray for the Nash family, for Lori's family as her uncle passed away. Continue to pray for Frank's family as his father passed away this week. Pray you'd comfort these families and minister to them. Pray for Jim's unspoken request. Lord, you know what it is, and I pray that you would minister. Lord, we are so thankful that we can pray and bring our request to you, knowing you're an all-wise God, you're an all-powerful God, Lord, that you're able to help us. Now, bless as we look at your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Now, it's going to take us a while to get there, but you hold there if you would. How many of you have ever heard the song R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Come on, come on, come on. Don't be so spiritual. Sure, you all have. Anybody know who made that song famous? Aretha Franklin, very good. And that song, she made it famous back in 1967, and it kind of became the theme song for the women's liberation movement. What people don't realize is she didn't write that song. In fact, it was written 2 years earlier by a guy named Otis Redding. How many of you ever heard of Otis Redding? Oh, you have? Good. Wow, that's surprising. But it's interesting, when Otis wrote that song, I'd never heard of him, although I lived in Redding for a while. Never heard of Otis. But when he wrote that song, he wrote it, all he wanted from his wife was respect. Now, when Aretha Franklin got a hold of that song, she changed it dramatically. And all she wanted from the man was respect. Everybody wants respect. All of you want respect. It's interesting, though the word respect, the way we use it, is not found in Scripture in dealing with the home. There is another word, and that's the word honor. To honor. And this morning, I want to look at this word respect. I've been so tempted to sing for you, but I've controlled that. I've controlled it. It's just under the surface, okay? But I want to talk to you about respect. Respect. Respect in the home, specifically. And we'll make application to children. We'll make application to parents. But I want to start out, number one, the meaning of respect. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said a feeling or attitude of admiration and deference, that's a word we don't use very often, but it's putting somebody else first, towards somebody or something. So admiration and deference, this idea of putting someone before yourself. It is a high or a special regard. Some synonyms: admiration, esteem, reverence, high opinion. Okay? So have you got the idea of what respect is? Now again, in the New Testament, the word is going to be, we're going to look at is the word honor. Now what I'd like to do to continue here on our second point, look at some general references to honor in the Bible. I'd like five men to help me here. Five men who can read a verse of Scripture, raise your hand. I'm going to do this very quickly. There's Romans 13, 7, 1 Timothy 6, 1, 1 Timothy 5, 17, Romans 12, 10, 1 Timothy 5, 3. And I'd have you to stand and speak out. Here we go. Who's got Romans 13, 7? Yes, sir. And while he's reading this, I want you to see who we're to honor. Go ahead. All right, so here's a very general verse that we are to honor those who it's due, okay? And specifically in that context, it's talking about honor those in government. Okay? 1 Timothy 6, 1.
Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Okay, so who's to honor whom? Workers are to honor their boss, their employer. Now, I'm not teaching on that today, but that's what the Bible says. Okay? David, say amen right there. Isn't that what you want from your employees? You'd like them to work too, but that's part of it. Sure. 1 Timothy 5:17. And I want you to listen very carefully to this one. Amen. Preach it, brother. What's it saying? Honor the elders, but which elders specifically? Those that labor in the word. Come on. Who is that? That's the pastor. All those on the pastoral staff. Hallelujah, right? Okay. All right. Who's got Romans 12:10? Yeah, notice in honor, now this is in the context of the church. In honor, this kind of helps us knowing what this word means, doesn't it? Preferring putting others first. That's in the church. Tell you what, if every church member practiced that, there would be no church splits. Okay, there's one more. 1 Timothy 5, 3. And that one's pretty easy, isn't it? Honor widows, okay? So there you see some, we're supposed to honor these, to respect these, to give them a place of high honor. Now, thirdly, I want you to see one very specific one. Everyone turn, I should have had you turn here first. You're in Ephesians, turn to 6:2. Ephesians 6:2, and you know this one. And obviously we're talking about the home in this series. Children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's the next word? Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So God says to children, you need to obey your parents. Let me ask you a question. If your children do what comes naturally, will they obey or disobey? Undoubtedly. Did you ever have to teach your children to disobey? Now, Junior, Mommy wants you to do this, but I want you to disobey and do this, okay? You never had to sit them down and do that. That's what comes naturally. In fact, in Proverbs 29:15, it says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Shame. Now, we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but what is the responsibility of the parent in raising their children? To raise them in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we talked about nurture last week. Do you remember what we said nurture was? The part of that word comes out of Hebrews chapter 12, where God says, now no blank seemeth to be joyous, chastening. And the other part of that verse has the word instruction. And so he's talking about this nurturing is not, you know, watering your child where they grow and place him in the sunshine and be sweet and all this, you know, and oh, it's so good. No, it is discipline with the intention to teach. And then that admonition is really teaching them the Word of God faithfully all the time. And part of this teaching is to teach them what's right and what's wrong so they can do right. So we're supposed to teach our children to obey. But notice verse 2, we're also to teach them to honor their father and their mother. You know what this word means? It means to prize, to revere, to value. We are to teach our children to prize us, to value us, to see our worth. Now again, we need to teach our children to act respectfully. Let me ask you a question. Is there any place in this verse where it says that a parent must earn the respect of their children? Don't respect your parents unless they earn it. Does it say that in your Bible anywhere? In the original Greek? Some of you Greek scholars, does it say that? We have gotten this idea in the world today that you don't show respect unless somebody earns respect. Now, when it comes to the government, we are commanded to show respect. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, Mark does. We can respect him. There you go. You don't have a choice. It is commanded. You say, my boss is a jerk. Now, he may be. But you know what? And you may say, you know what, Gary? When he or she shows me that they need to be, can be respected, I'll respect them. When they prove it, I'll no. That's not what the Bible says. I'm driving this home because we're gonna apply it later on. Children cannot say, you know what, my dad is a jerk. Well, they may be able to say that, but they shouldn't. So I'm not gonna show him respect. I'm not gonna honor him. Well, wait a minute. That is not a choice. They are commanded to respect and to honor their parents. And folks, you've got to teach them to do that. You know one of the great things you can do as a parent? Teach your children to say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. When I hear a teenager that says that to me, you know what I think? Somebody's done their job. Because they're showing honor by the way they communicate. When I hear a teenager say, yeah, nah, I want to take my right. No, I don't. I don't want to sing a few verses of respect, all right? You got to discipline when they're disrespectful. And by the way, there is a flip side to that, isn't there? And that is to give them praise when they are respectful. Boy, I saw the way you treated your sister. Now, you may have to wait 5 years for that to happen, but when it happens, you say, wow, that was great. Man, boy, I appreciate the way you treated your mom today, how you helped your mom. That was great. It's not all negative. There's positive, too. Now, folks, as a parent, you cannot allow your child to be disrespectful to you. You cannot allow it. You can't. Because if you do that, folks, and by the way, dads, if your child is disrespectful to your mother, to your wife, God has put upon you the obligation and the duty to straighten that out. God forbid that we as men would allow our children to disrespect our wife and just sit back there and say, well, if I jump in, then I get to get in it too. I'm just going to stand back and let them work it out, you know. No way. It is your responsibility to teach them to honor their parents. And if we don't do that, folks, we have hurt them for their whole life. Because they won't respect you. They're not going to respect the police. They're not going to respect their teacher. They're not going to respect anybody. I was talking to Mike's brother, Andy, works in the high school, works with children who cannot obey, or they're teenagers. I shouldn't call them children. And he said about every day he gets cussed out. Now, I know some of those problems are mental problems, but a lot of that goes back to a mom and dad that did not train their child to respect authority and to honor authority. Oh, by the way, you can teach them verbally, but you can teach them better by your actions. Men, how do you, and we're going to talk about this more You teach your children to respect their mother by doing what? By you respecting their mother. By you respecting authority. When you get pulled over and you get a ticket for speeding, which you were doing and you know it, and that policeman drives off and you say, well, that old pig, you know, I just can't believe just picking on me, and your kids are sitting in the back seat, what have you taught them about authority? And when you go home on Sundays and have roast preacher, what have you taught your kids about authority? A biblical authority. Okay? You all right? All right, okay. All right, now let's talk specifically about husbands and wives. Okay, most of you are married. I know some of you are not, but most of you are. We've already heard Romans 12:10, and this again, this is written to the church, but it applies, you're in the church, so it applies to us. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Here's a general thing that tells us that as husbands and wives, we are to honor our spouse. The husband is to put the wife first. The wife is to put the husband first. Let me give you another one. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. In your home, don't do anything based on strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Wow. You say, I got trouble at home. That'll fix it. That'll fix it. Let each esteem, that's our word, honor, each other better than themselves. You say, well, I don't care what they think. I'm going to do it anyway. Good luck with that. Well, I'm good and I deserve it. You know, I could end the lesson right now by saying this. You want to fix your home problems? Husbands, put your wife first. Wives, put your husband first. And really, that's it. Now, I've got 20 minutes, so I'm going to keep going. And we're going to make some application here, because I want you to turn to we're going to get to Ephesians 5 someday, but turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And I want to talk to you men, okay? You men that are husbands, or that have been or will be or whatever, okay? And women, don't get too comfortable, because I'm going to get to you too before the day's over, all right? I'm kind of like Preacher. Preacher Lashley always said, you know, I don't mind talking to the men, you know, but he said, when I talk to the women, I kind of feel like I got to hide behind the pulpit. I can understand that. I guess I should talk to the women first, but just to be fair here, we're going to talk to the men first. All right. Men, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving what? Hey, let's do this. Men, I want every man in this room to stand up with their Bible. Every man, stand up. Stand up, men. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, men. I'm going to wait for you. Good. We're going to read 1 Peter 3:7 together. Out loud. You ready? Hurry up, Ellison. Find it there, buddy. It's right before 2 Peter. Or you steal your wife's Bible. She'll let you read it. She'll be glad to have you read that verse. All right. Yeah, no comment. Here we go. Ready, gentlemen? Together, out loud. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife. Oh, wait a minute. Let's read that phrase again. Here it is. Give honor unto the wife. Hey, let's read that one more time. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Thank you, man. You may sit down. I bet I'll have scratches all over my car when I leave today. He says, look, men, you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You know what that means, man? You need to study your wife. That's what that means. You need to try to figure her out. Now, notice I didn't say you need to figure out. You need to try to figure out your wife. I've been reading a book called Love and Respect. My wife made me read it. And no, I'm just kidding. the guy talks about women having pink sunglasses and pink earbuds. So they see things a certain way. They hear things a certain way. Men have blue sunglasses and blue earbuds, and they hear things and see things differently. Now, the challenge is not to get in touch with your feminine side, gentlemen. That's not the point here. The point is you've got to try to understand what your wife sees and what she hears. Because it's probably totally different than what you see and what you hear. You know, it's funny because it took Time Magazine years and years and years to finally come out and say, men and women are different. And I thought, just read the Bible, you dummies. I mean, it's right there. The word honor here means to show they are priceless, valuable, or precious. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with the things that you think are valuable or precious? Men, you protect them. What else? I'll meet with you at Tuesday at 7, okay? I'll be going out of town. Feel free to stay at my house, okay? All right. You protect them. Let me give you another P. You also pamper them, don't you? You've got a really nice gun. You know, it's worth hundreds of dollars. What do you do with it? You throw it. You're no help at all. You protect it. But after you go out hunting and you bring that gun back and you just throw it in the corner, no way. You take it apart, you clean it, you polish it, you pamper it, and you protect it. Don't say a word, Rush. You're in the back row. There's only one way out, you know. Now look. Gentlemen, do you see your wife as something precious, valuable? You know, men, you ought to know what your wife likes and what your wife dislikes. You ought to know what makes your wife happy. Now, I don't usually give personal illustrations unless they're negative, but my wife's birthday is tomorrow. Years ago, I don't know how this happened, but I found out my wife loves carrot cake with cream cheese icing. So every birthday, my task is to make a carrot cake with cream cheese icing. One year I forgot. She didn't say a thing. Now, I can say this because I made it yesterday. We're going to eat it for lunch today, Caleb. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. Why do I do that? Now, there are many ways I fail in my marriage, but I do that because I know my wife likes it. I know that it shows her that I value her, that she is precious to me. Yes, sir. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You say, no, my children are. Hey, there's going to be a day when your children are gone.
God only loves us, our children.
That's a good point. Some of you would like to give those back right now, but you can't. Now, we're to honor them. But, you know, to be honest with you, you know, the main duty of the husband is not, yes, we're to honor our wives. But what is the main duty of the husband? It's found in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look there, okay? You know this. Verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, do what? Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So men ought to love their wives. Notice, here's a great definition of love: as their own bodies. Now, let's just be honest, men. We love our bodies. Now, we may not love all of our bodies, but there's not a single man here that would go out today and take a ball-peen hammer and lay his thumb out there and just start beating the tar out of his thumb. Why? Because you love your body. Now, you may do that inadvertently. I was cutting an orange yesterday and got a little bit of protein in it when I sliced my hand. He said, you love... Now, men, look at this. He said, I want you to love your spouse the way you love yourself. Are you ever mean to yourself? Not intentionally. And then he says, I want you to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. What did Christ do? He left heaven's glory, took upon himself human flesh, took our sin upon him on the cross, was beaten, was scourged, suffered. Why did he suffer? Why did he go through all that? Because he loves us. And why does he love you? Because you are so good. Give me a word that describes God's love for you. Unconditional. I've kind of struggled with that in my life. There are times I thought, you know, if I just do what's right, God will love me more. No. God loves you no matter how you are. Now, he punishes those that are disobedient. But his love is unconditional. You say, Gary, I would love my wife if she was more lovable. Whoa, wait a minute. God doesn't say, love your wife if she's nice. It doesn't say, love your wife if she treats you good. It doesn't say that. It says, men, love your wives. Simply, clearly. Hey, love your wife. You say, well, you know what? She doesn't give me what I want, so I'm going to withhold my love. Isn't that stupid? I'm going to get something that I want from her by withholding what she wants. You say, well, my wife doesn't give me what I want. I don't care. The Bible says, love your wife. You can't argue. I can't argue. Well, but she treated me wrong. Well, she did this. It doesn't matter. Men, we are to love our wives. It's unconditional. Now, what does that practically mean? It means that every area of my life, I find out what my wife's needs are. I study her, and I try to meet those needs. And if I have to sacrifice... Can I give you another illustration? And again, I've done this wrong so many times. I'm going to give you the one time I did right. My wife was sick back in December, really sick. Got sick like on Monday or Tuesday. And I stayed home to help her. And Wednesday night was a Christmas dinner. And I said, you know, I'm not doing anything for Christmas dinner. Don't have a partner program. I'm going to stay home with you. You don't know the number of times she's come to me and said, you know, you'll never know how much that meant to me that you stayed home from the Christmas dinner. Now, unfortunately, there have been many times I haven't done that. But why did that mean so much to my wife? Because it showed that I thought her needs were more important than mine. I put her first. Put her first. Okay, man, you can relax. All right. Now, it's interesting. We say the man's main responsibility to his wife is to love his wife. What is the wife's main responsibility to her husband? It is very interesting. The Bible never tells women to agape love their husbands. Now, it does say phileo love your husband. It never says to agape love your husband. You know why that is? Women are naturally loving. They really are. You say, well, you don't know my wife. Well, they are. They are built with that nurturing, loving spirit. They do. And you know what your wife wants from you? To be loved. and to feel loved and to know that she is precious, that she is valuable, that she is important. That's what she wants, man. But you know what? The Word of God is interesting. Now, I said Ephesians 5:33. We're now going to read it. I told you it'd take a while. Now, notice verse 33. This will be a revelation, I think, to most of us. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Now listen, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that whenever he's around, she gets down on her knees and bow down and you are the most holy? No. Reverence, you know what that word is? To show respect and honor. You know, wives, your main responsibility to your husband is to show them respect and honor. You say, well, Gary, if you knew my husband, he does not, if you knew what he had yelled at me, what he said to me, what he did to me, what he threw at me, then you would understand why I don't respect him and why I don't treat him respectfully. Well, does this verse say anything about that? You treat them with reverence if they deserve it. But you would not believe how many women I've talked to said, you know what? I'd respect him if he were respectful. You know what your man needs? He needs a wife that respects him and shows him respect in the home. What he needs. His male ego, it's kind of sad that we are the way we are, men. I mean, of course, I'd be one of you. But you know, we want it, you know, food, you know, pleasure, you know, those things. And because I'm a man, I need respect, okay? But isn't that what the Bible teaches? It says, look, women, you need to respect your husband. And again, it is unconditional. I was counseling a couple recently, not from our church, so you don't know them, so don't even think about it. And I asked the woman in an email, I said, what do you think your responsibility to your husband is? I may have told you this before. And she responded, my responsibility is to change my husband, to make him what he ought to be, and to help him become what he ought to be. You wonder why they had conflict in the home? But you know what? I'm afraid that's kind of true of many women. My job is to fix him, and I'm going to criticize him, and I'm going to keep going on him until he becomes what I want him to be. And so they're constantly critical, and there's no respect shown. You know, Proverbs talks about this kind of woman. He said, it is better to dwell in a wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Okay? None of you men say amen there, okay? That would not be loving. Now, it's interesting to me, and my time's running out. I'm not going to... Well, we can do it real quickly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Something very interesting. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Now, what kind of a husband is he talking about here? It's an unsaved husband. You say, well, wait a minute, surely an unsaved husband who is ungodly doesn't deserve respect. How does he say that a saved wife is to reach her unsaved husband? Nag him all the time. Well, I'm a believer. Almost broke into another song there. And because of that, you know, I love God and I love my church and you just need to get right and you're wicked and you need to quit doing this and quit doing that and you need to quit that. And you wonder why that white boy won't get saved. Sorry to show my carnality there. He says, look, saved wives, you be in subjection to your unsaved husband. Notice, while they behold your conversation coupled with fear. Now, that, folks, that is the same word in Ephesians 5:33, reverence. How is a saved wife to reach her unsaved husband? By showing him respect. Now, look, if it's true for an unsaved husband, surely it ought to be true for a saved husband. Now, folks, the Word of God is clear. Women, your duty this week is to respect, show respect to your husband. You say, well, I just can't do it. You did it when you were dating. Man, I just love being with you. Do you ever say that when you're dating? Man, you make me laugh. We just have a great time together. I just enjoy being with you. Or, man, you are the man. Come on, women. You know, how do you think you got him in the first place? By telling him how to dress? By telling him you don't like what he's doing? Man, that sweater really looks good on you. Huh? When was the last time you complimented your husband? You say, but man, that was 40 years ago. He didn't look like that anymore. Well, you don't either, you know. Wouldn't it be great if we had men in our church who truly loved their wives and said, you know what, my wife is valuable to me. By the way, I was talking to a man in our church this week whose wife went on to heaven several years ago, and somehow we got talking about Sunday school, and he said, you tell them to love their wives. Tell them to love their wives. And wouldn't it be great if we had women who showed respect to their man? Now, I would encourage you, if you've been disrespectful and critical of your spouse, before you lay it on them and tell them how great they are, you may want them to have them sit down so they don't faint and fall to the ground, you know, and die, okay? But man, your job this week is to love your wife. Women, if you're married, men that are married, your job this week is to show respect to your husband. And by the way, that is not just respect at home. That's respect at the church house. That's respect on Facebook. That's respect on Twitter and Snapchat and wherever else it is, and on the telephone. Lord help us, folks, when we get on the phone or whatever, we start talking about our mate in a bad way or in front of our children. Respect. Respect. Do you have it? Is it in your home? You say, Gary, we're having trouble. All right, here it is again. Fix it. Fix it. Men, love your wives. Put them first. Learn about them. Whatever they like, you find it, you do it. Put them first. Women, respect, reverence your husband. It's not your job to straighten him out. It's God's job. Your job is to show him respect. Boy, it'll change your home. It'll change your home. Okay? You got it? Now, next time we're together, I don't think I'm going to teach on this again. What I'd like to do is give you, and again, I'm reading this book on love and respect, so some of this has come from that. I think I'm just going to give you a handout, and we'll see how the Lord works in that. That'll give you, he has put together something spelled couple for the men, specific things to show your wife that you love her, and chair he uses, I'm not sure why chair, but he does, to show women how to show their husband respect. So I may just hand that out to you. We'll see. Okay, Lord, we do thank you for your word, its clarity. I hope this has been clear. Help us to be biblical in our homes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.